This is the Hidden Killers podcast with Tony Bruschi,
featuring retired FBI special agent Jennifer Coffendaffer.
The case against Richard Allen as the Delphi murderer, it is continuing on, on the rails, I guess a little more on the rails than it has been, as it's gone off the rails so many times. We're on a whole different track now, I think, though. Joining me to discuss, Jennifer Coffendaffer, retired FBI special agent. One of the big things that we're hearing, again, is the confession over 60 times during his 22 months in custody. Of course, we're questioning, you know, his state of mind. This man was literally eating his own feces at some point in time. So how well does that stand up as far as a valid confession? There's so many questions as this case gets closer to going to trial. What are your thoughts on the latest hearing and where we're going with this?
Well, a couple of things. Anytime somebody confesses to a loved one that's overheard on a monitored phone line, anytime somebody says something to somebody in a locked up facility that's unsolicited, in other words, this wasn't a law enforcement twisting his arm. These were supposed voluntary type confessions. I think they have a lot of credence.
Yeah.
Of course, the issue is, and I think I can't imagine anyone not subscribing to this except for maybe Judge Gohl and the prosecution team. He was yanked from being a CVS pharmacist, had a wife, had a daughter, all was well in the world, and thrown in a maximum security prison in complete lockup for 23 hours, Tony. This is unheard of for somebody who has not been convicted of a crime.
Yeah.
And who wouldn't go nuts? If you've seen pictures, I mean, there usually aren't windows. I mean, you're in a teeny tiny cell. I think his was 9 by 7. Or approximately 9 by 7, and you're all by yourself. Mm-hmm. You're not doing anything for 23 hours a day after being just your normal, accused murderer citizen. So could that drive somebody crazy? Well, mm-hmm. I think it could. I mean, he was supposedly eating papers. He couldn't meet with his attorneys, which is a total appealable mm-hmm. situation, I think.
Yeah.
In this. And I know now, Tony, they're moving him finally to a county facility.
Yeah.
I mean, it's taken all this time, and I think it's way too little too late. I think this case has a lot of issues, but if he confessed, those confessions might be quite real, and he may have done this.
I think it's a very valid question. I mean, we don't know. He may have done this. Now, does that negate all of the mishandling of this case? No, not at all. I mean, that's what I think puts a lot of this into question. It's just the procedure of how they've been handling this guy, where if he did do this, he could possibly walk because of the way that he's been handled from day one.
Yeah, no, this case, and it has so many issues too. If you read the probable cause affidavit, in my opinion, It was sorely lacking in terms of credible witness statements in particular. I never did see the probable cause affidavit, I don't believe, for that search warrant. But how did they have probable cause for the search warrant? Now, I do think, and I've always said this, why in the world, all of a sudden, out of all the people, did they put their target on him? And I just wonder, did he make some sort of confession or tell somebody he was involved in this, and that got the wheels rolling, because nothing else makes sense to me.
Want more of the podcast without the ads?
Then hit subscribe to the True Crime Today Premium Plus channel on Apple Podcasts.
Try it now for 3 days, absolutely free.
You'll get access to all of our extended advance ad-free episodes instantly,
so you can binge without the break. True Crime Today Premium Plus.
Search and subscribe now on Apple Podcasts.